Hello, I'm Martijn Graat and this is Does Logistics Matter? A podcast on trends and innovations in supply chain and logistics. Answering yes to the question today is George Swartz, Vice President Shipper Solutions Sales at Loadsmart. In this episode, we talk about the current state of the transportation industry, the opportunities for optimization, the interplay between technology, workforce dynamics, and strategic planning, and the role that technology plays in this. Please enjoy my conversation with George Swartz. Hi, George. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
The first question in this podcast is always the same question, George, and that is, does logistics matter?
Absolutely, logistics matters. If you think about just commerce today, getting goods and services to people, it can't be done without logistics. For me, I'm a lifelong logistician, so it definitely matters to me. But as you look at scarcity of resources, reduction in time frames in terms of when people expect their goods and services today, it totally matters. In fact, it matters more today than it did 20 years ago.
Yeah, and people want more and want it faster. Everything needs to be delivered now, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny because you'll see with, and I think it's post-pandemic really kind of emphasized it, but even before that, as younger generations are coming up into the ranks in the workforce and assuming more positions of responsibility, they've grown up with this mm-hmm. kind of instant gratification at home, and they expect that at work. And so it has put a lot of pressure on the supply chain and specifically on logistics to be able to deliver on those kind of things.
So George, how did you end up working in logistics?
It's interesting. I'm one of those rare birds that my degree is actually in transportation and logistics. And other than a stint in the U.S. Air Force right after college, I've been in logistics my entire career. I started out selling freight for a couple different companies. I moved to the shipper side and was director of logistics for a specialty retailer. And then I got into consulting in distribution and logistics and have been either in the consulting or services side of distribution and logistics for the better part of three decades.
Nice. It's great to have such an extensive somebody with such an extensive logistics experience on the show. What area of logistics is has your main focus in currently?
It's been kind of split over the years. It's been divided almost in equal parts between transportation and distribution mm-hmm. operations. So I've worked on transportation program design, worked with carriers, worked in carrier sales, have worked across multiple modes, have done quite a bit with rail and intermodal. But then an equal part of my career has been in the distribution center design and optimization side of the business as well. So designing DCs, figuring out how many to have in a network, and then equating that to what it's going to do to transportation. So it's kind of those two pieces have been my primary focus.
Nice. That's actually the part of logistics where I started. I started out as a logistics engineer. So whenever I see high walls and almost no windows, my heart beats faster, and I'm like, ooh, what's happening inside? I wanna go and see.
I was going to say, it's funny how you can kind of geek out on that stuff. I'm the same way. I'm spotting new distribution centers going up. And when I'm driving down the highway, I'm taking note of every new carrier that I see out there that I haven't seen before.
Yeah. Yeah. And also with the automation going on in warehouses, there are a lot of these videos of these robots moving around. I need to stay away from those because I can watch those things for hours just looking at what happens.
Yep.
Today's topic is not on the distribution side, but I guess more on the transportation side. And a lot is happening when it comes to transportation. What are the developments? What are the trends that are most important right now?
There's a number of things going on, and to kind of understand them, you have to have a little bit of a historical bent on looking at the transportation industry. If you go all the way back to the late 70s, we've seen cycles. in the transportation market where they dip, rates dip, carriers come and go, you know, rates rebound, come back up, different events cause those. We work with mode shifts. I mean, most recently, this past year, we had the freight market kind of bottom out in terms of rates dropped very low. Carrier margins weren't where they wanted them to be. Capacity was pretty readily available. And this came on the backside of, you know, an unprecedented shortage and high rates. You know, we're now seeing it rebound again, and rates are starting to come up. Capacity is starting to tighten. If you look out over the next couple of years, the trend, and I think it goes along a little bit with inflation continuing to come down to some degree over the next couple of years, but we're projecting rates are going to keep a steady incline for at least the next couple of years. Now, lots of things can happen to change all that, but based on what we've seen in the past, based on how it's trending right now, based on other factors, you know, housing starts and seeing durable goods production and that kind of thing, we're starting to see that rebound. And I think that's really going to have an impact on freight. Now, it's not going to be a meteoric rise. It's going to be a nice steady increase in those rates. But now's the time for shippers to take note of that, because you want to put things in position to make sure that you're not, you know, getting caught behind the curve here in terms of those rates going up, and you're doing things to control your costs. You're doing things to make sure that you take the best advantage of the transportation market as it tightens and as those rates start to rise.
Yeah. So that's when it comes to rates. So rates are going up. Well, that's usually because capacity is going down.
Correct.
What other influences are there that impact this?
You got a couple of things. I think you had some carriers of note that didn't make it through the last downturn. It's tragic when you see, you know, longstanding names go, and it, you know, even more so as you see newcomers, you know, fail. But it happens with every trend. But that has an impact on helping tighten the capacity. You've got more and more refrigerated freight moving, and that puts real pressure because, especially on the LTL side of things, there aren't as many refrigerated LTL carriers out there to choose from. So that helps keep rates in place for them. It also makes it harder to do this kind of shipping, and it challenges companies to optimize, to, you know, look at ways to get out from under a more expensive mode. And so you've got to get creative, and you start to look at things, and this is going to shape the market as well. Because if I'm getting better at taking multiple LTL shipments and turning them into another mode, you know, that puts a little less pressure on LTL, but it increases the pressure on the modes that I'm shifting to.
So how would you go about that?
Yeah, there's lots of ways. There's tools that are out there that'll allow you to optimize. Some of the better transportation management systems have an optimization element to them that allow you, and basically algorithms that consider the shipments that you've got.
Yeah.
And you look for opportunities. Can I combine multiple shipments from the same shipper and still meet my delivery dates? You know, I put those together, those become larger LTLs, which gives me a price break. Or they become, you know, I can make a partial truckload out of it and create truckload with stop off. Another thing I look at are orders that may be going to the same destination area, maybe not the same customer, but I can combine those into truckloads. I can skip the LTL carriers hub and spoke network and break bulks and save both time and money doing it that way. I also look at the time sensitivity of my shipments. You know, can I move some of these to intermodal and go rail and do them that way and be able to shift? So it's constantly looking at ways to combine orders, combine shipments, optimize those, and be able to shift them to less expensive modes. Even in package and parcel, people are like, well, what do I do there? You know, it's costly. And you can do the same thing. You can look at parcel shipments that are going to the same part of the country, put those together, ship them line haul via LTL or truckload, and then do a last mile delivery with them and skip the hub and spoke network of the parcel carrier. It's interesting. Most people don't realize quite a, if you're on the East Coast and you're shipping second day air to the West Coast, you know, with a parcel carrier, quite a number of those shipments actually go rail. And you're paying a second day air rate for something that the parcel shipper is putting on a daily rail, shipment to the West Coast. So it's also understanding the modes. One of the great things that happens is customers getting smarter about how their network operates. They may by default ship mm-hmm. next day air because a client's requesting something next day. If you separate out the shipments that are in zone one, for example, those can go ground and still be there next day. You don't have to pay the next day air. So there's ways to save money. There's simple ways to optimize, or you can use tools or managed transportation services providers who can do that optimization for you.
You were talking about combining loads and then maybe trucking them yourself from one side of the country to the other instead of using hub and spoke networks of other parties. So I'm guessing companies that move more freight themselves will need more trucks, but also more drivers. And I think in the US, that's the same as in Europe. There's a huge shortage.
Yeah, it's an age-old problem here. We've experienced driver shortages throughout history. And if you think of trucking in the US or in North America, the interesting thing, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking about running additional private fleet assets yourself or just utilizing common carriers, but in a different mode, they're all experiencing driver shortages. Yeah. And there's a number of things contributing to it. If you look at it, it's not a vocation that you see a lot of Gen Zers and millennials going into. We're not replenishing the way that we did. Another major replenishment point for truck drivers has been the military. People coming out of military service who drove a truck in the Army or in the armed services, and it's a natural extension to come back and get a job. We're not producing as many ex-soldiers as we used to, and that's creating a shortage. It's funny, the airlines are seeing the same thing with pilots, because a great training ground for pilots, and that comes to the air freight side as well, comes from the fact mm-hmm. that we're not generating near as many ex-pilots as we used to, because we're not training as many pilots today. So those things contribute. I think there's been a huge push towards more and more, a higher percentage of college-educated people in the U.S. today, and those generally don't go into truck driving. So you've got a number of things. I think there's going to be a technological advance that helps with this in the not too distant future, as we get more of the electric powered or EV powered tractor trailers and straight trucks and those sort of things. They're easier. They're going to be easier to drive, mm-hmm. easier to train people on, and frankly, a little bit higher technology, which may tend to attract more people into that field. But we got a few years, I think, before those are really mainstream and ready to go. So the shortage is going to continue, and we're just going to have to get creative.
And I guess it's maybe a natural evolution, what you're saying, that people are getting smarter because, you know, the technology around us that we use, whether it's software to optimize transportation or just simply the smartphone that we have in our hands, with much more, we need to get smarter to stay ahead of this technology.
Absolutely.
And people will work new things. When the car came, everybody said like, well, everybody will be out of job because there will be no more horses and we will all lose our jobs. And the same thing happened with steam powered, with steam power, everybody's going to lose their job, but we didn't lose jobs. It just evolved. So apparently this evolution is happening already.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think it's interesting because where you do see people going into driving jobs are on last mile delivery, working for the couriers and the small package last mile companies, whether it's the giants like Amazon or whether it's, local small delivery companies. Those jobs are easier. They're part of the gig economy. And they're more attractive, I think, to younger people than going into an over-the-road truck driving job.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same. Is that especially the younger generation, because they've grown up in such a gig type economy, that's also a little bit their expectation of their job as well.
Yeah, it's hard to be a gig player when you're expected to drive 8 or 10 hours.
yeah, for sure. And those are I mean, it's large distances.
Yes. Yeah, especially with the U.S. And, you know, intermodal helps with that because, you know, it takes the driver out of the equation for the bigger part of the long haul. But it's a matter of service as well. And, you know, when you use intermodal, it can be very economical. It can be very efficient. But you create a couple of extra stages with, you know, take the trailer to the rail yard. It has to be loaded. It does its line haul. Then it has to be unloaded. Then it has to be delivered versus a tractor trailer that is just starting from an origin and going to a destination.
Yeah. So, so you were already talking about some of the optimization opportunities. Are there other ways in which this optimization is possible?
Yeah, and it depends on how a company wants to approach it, because a lot of times companies will start out and they'll disadvantage themselves from a transportation standpoint because their distribution network isn't efficient. They don't have their warehouses or their DCs in optimal locations. They may have too many, which is creating too many transportation legs and driving up transportation costs. They may just have them in the wrong places, which is driving up the line haul portion and the distances they have to travel. So one of the first things that I typically work with clients on is identifying opportunities to improve the network first. If you can get the network aligned, and it's not always easy because sometimes you're in long-term contracts or you own facilities that are part of the network. But if you can optimize that network and get a little creative with it, I can start to make the transportation network more efficient before I attack the carrier side. Then when I start looking at the actual things that we talked about earlier, the ability to shift to more efficient modes, the ability to consolidate orders, you know, all of those things that go into optimization, then those can be easier and even more efficient once I've attacked that distribution network. And the interesting thing is it's not a terribly difficult analysis, but it's good to get outside help with it. People who do it all the time and have the tools to be able to do it, whether that's, managed transportation services companies or consultancies that do this kind of work. There's a number of ways you can get it done, but it can be worth its weight in gold because then you can set out a strategic plan in terms of how you're going to evolve your distribution network. Another thing, too, is companies for years wanted to own their facilities or enter into long-term contracts. The more nimble you can stay with your network, the better off you'll be, because that way you can react to changes faster and more cost-effectively. All of those things eventually come down to the transportation network, you know, that's going to service that distribution network.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that technology helps a lot here as well. With the computing power that we have at our fingertips nowadays, it's much easier to recalculate what happens if you move a distribution center or add one or take one out of the equation. There are so many factors that influence this that. It's gotten a lot easier to test all sorts of alternatives.
Yep, it definitely has. I look back in my career, and when I first got into consulting, we did distribution network analysis. We had developed a tool for it. It ran on an IBM luggable computer, and you would put your scenarios in the afternoon, go to bed that night, and hope they had run by morning. Yeah, today with the tools that are out there and the computing power that we have, you can literally do what if analysis in a matter of seconds and get outputs. Yeah. But the trick is knowing what inputs to put in, knowing how to interpret that data when it comes out, and so you can develop a strategy. It used to be this was such a cumbersome thing that a company might do a distribution network analysis every 5 years, and spend, a couple hundred thousand dollars to do it, if not more. Today, our advice is you look at your distribution network yearly, understand the changes. You can even do it more frequently than that with what-if analysis if things are quickly changing in your market. And what's great is you can model new product introductions. You can model new territories or customers that you're going to go into. Look at the impact on the network and make changes on the fly.
Yeah, so it's so technology is helping a lot there. So you've been talking about several ways in which the whole logistics system can be approached in an alternative way. You've talked about switching modes. You've talked about redesign of the distribution network. What other alternatives are there?
Part of it's in the way that you manage it yourself. And much as we talked mm-hmm. about a labor shortage in drivers, we're seeing a labor shortage just in skilled logisticians and supply chain folks coming up.
Yep.
It's not a major people are going into these days in the numbers that they did 10, 15, 20 years ago. So we're not seeing as many folks, you know, that want to do this as a living. So one of the things that, you know, we suggest is looking at managed transportation services, for example, or third-party logistics as options to augment that, because those kinds of companies tend to be making the investments, attracting people, doing a lot of the training, and we've got those kind of folks in centers of excellence, and they're going through constant training. If you're a mid-sized company, and you've got a 3 or 4 person logistics department, as that logistics department ages, it's hard to find people to come in and backfill for them, in those roles. So, one of the things you can do to help optimize is look to SaaS tools, look to third-party logistics, look to managed transportation services providers to provide that, or to give you that capability that you don't have internal.
So we're looking at workforce is really important. Having the right people and having the right people with the right capabilities. You mentioned technology, which is really important. Having the right tools. Then distribution network, really important. And carrier network. That was the or. I would say transportation network, and part can be your own and part can be a carrier network.
If I could add one other thing on the technology piece, another huge piece of this equation today, especially with the increased expectations of customers, is visibility. And, knowing where your shipments are, knowing that they shipped on time, being able to check on them in transit, being able to confirm that they were delivered on time. And with that knowledge, being able to expedite, reroute, do the things you need to do to stay on time. If you've got retail customers, for example, there can be a huge financial impact of not meeting deadlines, of not, and being early is as bad as being on time with a retailer. You can rack up, tens of thousands of dollars in retail compliance penalties from your retail customers just because your network didn't perform like it was supposed to. So you also need technology to help you be able to track, trace, stay on top of, and manage the carrier performance.
Yeah. And especially with ad hoc changes, usually it takes a lot of computing power to quickly calculate all sorts of alternatives. And years ago, there was nothing you could do. The truck driver would just either have to wait, or was too late. And now with the calculation power that we have, we could say like, hey, wait a minute, if it's going so well, then we can maybe pick something up there or drop something off there, which is also on the route.
Right. Yeah, there's just the visibility and the information empower you to make a lot better decisions.
It's also a lot very important when it comes to keeping your customers happy, right? I mean, sometimes it's bad when you're late, but at least when you keep them informed, there's a good chance that they say, "Okay, well, it's late, but I knew about it," and they could make some changes as well. It's usually the truck that comes late that disrupts the warehouse. And if you know a truck is going to be late, then you can say to somebody that's early, you can come in now because we have an open slot. And yep. then people don't realize that if one of the cogs gets stuck in logistics, then in all through the chain, things change.
Now, I was going to say creativity is one other factor. I mean, if you look at what's going on in the world today and that are things that are impacting U.S. transportation issues, you know, the things going on in the Red Sea, yeah. the mess with the Panama Canal, it's creating longer routes. You've got to be better at planning. Once it gets here, I mean, we've got product now coming into the West Coast that didn't used to, or being railed across Panama, you know, and then being transloaded to come in. You've got, you know, slow freight moving through the Red Sea at the moment. In some cases, they're skipping it altogether. You know, all of those things are putting a little more pressure on the system and, you know, fostering a lot of creativity in terms of how can I handle these things.
Do you know of some examples that you've seen or approaches that you've seen that you say like that's just great, that's creativity at work in logistics?
Yep. Well, I think you're seeing again coming off the West Coast, we're seeing increased intermodal shipments to land bridge the product instead of trying to bring it through the mm-hmm. Panama Canal. We saw a land bridge created yeah. in Panama with a couple of railroads to move product across where it would have normally gone through the canal. So those are a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. The other thing we're seeing, you know, and it's not ideal, but now we're seeing more shipments go around the Cape, around Cape Horn and the Cape of Good Hope, to avoid the canals.
Yep.
While it's adding time, it is unlocking other port options, for example, and stuff coming in. So stuff that would have traditionally come into Texas, maybe coming into other East Coast ports because of the route that the ships are taking today. You know, we're yeah. seeing West Coast ports pick up again. You know, while we had seen a drop off on some of the stuff coming in from China, we're now seeing things that are trying to avoid the Panama Canal and are going in the West Coast. So, you know, we'll continue yep. to adapt and evolve. You know, world issues and natural disasters will always shape and reshape our transportation network.
Yeah, for sure. So, but thank you very much for adding that because the creativity, it doesn't get mentioned a lot, and for sure logistics cannot do without it. So it's great that you put it on the map, George. As a final question, I'd like to ask you to take your crystal ball if you have it on your desk and stare into it, and maybe tell us what you see. What's ahead of us in logistics and in transportation?
I think in transportation, we're going to see a few things. The shortage of drivers that we talked about is not going to go away. But I think, as we discussed earlier, the advent of EV trucks and trailers or tractor trailers and straight trucks is going to make it a little easier to attract and retain drivers. So I think those two will happen. You're going to see a push towards autonomous equipment, which takes kind of the driver piece out of play, and it takes the hours of service out of play. But we're still a few years away from that because, you know, there's infrastructure changes that are needed to support that. And you've always got the issue with weather, depending on the parts of the country that you're going in, autonomous vehicles still have to navigate. I think you'll see it take hold on the last mile delivery sooner rather than later. And you may see, you know, some routes that allow long distances at high speeds. And I'm thinking of, you know, where they've opened up years ago, three trailer unit driving, you know, on certain turnpikes, on certain thoroughfares. Those will lend themselves, I think, to autonomous sooner. I think you're going to see visibility systems continue to evolve and to get better. And we're going to have full visibility of where shipments are throughout. I think you're going to see more and more micro fulfillment, which means we're going to be shifting goods to markets as opposed to coming out of a centralized distribution center. So you'll see more and more smaller almost depots popping up for goods and services. And that's going to change the shape of distribution networks. And what it'll do is it'll put a lot more emphasis on line haul to get to those micro fulfillment centers, a lot of truckload with stop offs to replenish those, and then a lot more last mile delivery. I think we'll see that continue to grow. I think you're going to see companies also try to push customers to do their own pickups. Yeah, so that as I come into, you know, Best Buy is a great example of a company that's done a great job of turning their retail network into basically pickup depots and getting their customers to come pick up the, you know, and do the last mile delivery themselves. So, you know, there could be a number of things that reshape what a distribution network looks like. I think it's going to reshape the role of LTL players over the course of the next decade or so. And you may see more and more line haul with, excuse me, with truckload carriers and with intermodal. So, yeah, I think those are some of the trends that you will see. I don't think autonomous is going to get to the point where it's going to completely alleviate the driver shortages, you know, anytime soon. But I think it's technology we'll keep pushing towards, and we'll keep building, you know, we'll keep working the infrastructure. Yeah. So there are corridors at least where it can be utilized.
Yeah. Well, George, thank you so much for taking us through the whole spectrum, because you started looking at history and now we've ended up in the future. So thank you for sharing your knowledge with us today.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity. It was great chatting with you about it.
This episode was powered by LoadSmart. LoadSmart is transforming the logistics landscape by leveraging cutting-edge technology and industry expertise to deliver optimized, reliable, and transparent freight services and solutions. From digital freight brokerage and consultancy to software tools, they empower shippers, carriers, and warehouses to move more with less, increasing efficiency, reducing costs, and enhancing service quality. For more information, visit loadsmart.com.